Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is this the place? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. Today is Pioneer Day. It's a day set aside by the citizens of the state of Utah to celebrate when the Mormon pioneers came into the Salt Lake Valley. As with much of Mormon history, there's some controversy surrounding this story and surrounding this holiday, but they do believe, Mormons do believe, that their being here in Utah is the result of a prophecy that was allegedly given by Joseph Smith called the Rocky Mountain Prophecy.
This is from The Essentials in Church History, a book by Joseph Fielding Smith, who later became the 10th Mormon prophet. This was written in 1922. I'm reading from page 450, and it says, "This is the place. On the 24th of July, 1847, President Brigham Young, with the main body of the pioneers, entered the valley. He was resting in a carriage driven by Elder Wilford Woodruff, and as they emerged from the canyon and pulled up onto a ridge, President Young, who was ill, requested Elder Woodruff to turn his carriage around so that he could look upon the valley. This was done, and President Young gazed in silence for a few moments. Then, with an expression of satisfaction, he said, quote, 'This is the place, drive on,' end quote. They entered into the valley and camped with the members who had preceded them. They had found the promised land and a resting place for their weary feet where they could fulfill the predictions of the prophet Joseph Smith and become a mighty people in the midst of the Rocky Mountains."
Now, this Rocky Mountain prophecy, as you just stated, from Joseph Fielding Smith, 10th president of the Mormon Church, has been repeated numerous times by various leaders in the Mormon Church. We know that on October 5th, 2008, in a general conference message, M. Russell Ballard referred to this prophecy as taking place on August of 1842. He gets this out of the documentary History of the Church. It's volume 5, and I'm reading from page 85, where it says, "I prophesied," this is supposed to be Joseph Smith speaking, "I prophesied that the saints would continue to suffer much affliction and would be driven to the Rocky Mountains. Many would apostatize, others would be put to death by our persecutors or lose their lives in consequence of exposure or disease. And some of you will live to go and assist in making settlements and build cities and see the saints become a mighty people in the midst of the Rocky Mountains." Now, Eric, you'd probably agree that if Joseph Smith really made a statement like that, that's probably one prophecy that he said that you could might say came to pass. However, there is no evidence to show that Joseph Smith really said that. In fact, we have plenty of evidence that seems to point to this being inserted later on to make it appear that Joseph Smith actually said this before he died at Carthage Jail. What's some of that evidence? Because the Tanners, Gerald and Sandra Tanner, have something to say about this in their book, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality.
Yeah, this is found on page 134. They give a photocopy from the documentary History of the Church, and they give this photograph what the original prophecy looked like, and this is what they wrote. "A photograph on the portion of the original handwritten manuscript containing the prophecy has been located at the Visitor Center in Nauvoo, Illinois. Now that we have a photograph of the page containing this prophecy, we can see why it was suppressed all these years. The reason, they explain, is that the part concerning the Mormons becoming a, quote, mighty people in the midst of the Rocky Mountains, end quote, had been crammed in at the bottom in a smaller handwriting. This would seem to indicate that it was added sometime after the page had originally been written." And I'm looking at it right now, and you can see where they added that in. It was sometime after it was originally put together.
It's kind of like in the manuscript for the Book of Mormon, where it talks about Mary being the mother of God. We know that when you look at the manuscript, somebody has carried it above the line, the words "the son of." And it's in a different handwriting, and it was kind of squeezed in after the fact. And, of course, in the modern editions of the Book of Mormon, of course, it says Mary is the mother of the Son of God. Here we have history being rewritten after the fact to make it appear that Joseph Smith had actually predicted that the Latter-day Saints would eventually come to the Rocky Mountains and they would settle.
Now, the Tanners believe it was Thomas Bullock, who was the writer of the original, but also served as the in the church historian's office in Salt Lake City until the history of the church was written and being worked on in 1854. But it seems pretty clear that this not only was added in, but LDS historian Dean Jesse says it could not have been written until July of 1845.
So that would be long after Joseph Smith is already dead.
Yeah.
This is what's important. We're looking for a pedigree here. We're looking for some kind of proof that Joseph Smith actually said this. Now, Mormons will often say, well, I heard this person say this, and they attributed it to this date. Well, that's not really evidence, folks. That's hearsay. That's not really strong evidence. I think it's important to note that we don't really have anything in Joseph Smith's handwriting, or even in the handwriting of someone else who was there on a particular day when Joseph Smith may have said this even publicly, that would corroborate the story.
Like a diary account, perhaps.
You would think so. Well, anyway, when we look at this story, and by the way, if you want to know more about this, we have an article called Examining Joseph Smith's Rocky Mountain Prophecy. It was written by Lane Thewitt. Lane Thewitt worked with MRM years ago, but he wrote this excellent article giving the history of this. And you're going to find, when you go through here, he's done some excellent research to show that there's a lot of questions regarding this alleged prophecy. Now, Mormon historian, Lane includes this in here, Mormon historian Davis Bitten, he says, sums this matter up well, saying, there is no such prophecy in the handwriting of Joseph Smith or published during the prophet's lifetime, but it was referred to in general terms during the trek west. After the arrival in the Salt Lake Valley, the prophecy became more specific as time went on.
Isn't that the way a legend is built, though? You build the facts after the fact. And so if something took place and then you're able to say, well, here's the prophecy of it happening. But you, again, you mentioned the pedigree. There's no pedigree to go before the time they actually came here. I think that's going to be an issue.
Well, the Tanners actually note this. They say that the Brigham Young had written a letter just 13 days before this journal entry, which definitely indicated that he was planning to have the Saints migrate to Canada on Vancouver's Island. And they put this in Shadow of Reality on page 135. Now, of course, if they're going to go to Vancouver Island, it's pretty hard to say that that's a fulfillment of a prophecy that says you're supposed to end up in the Rocky Mountains, because Vancouver Island is just a little bit far away from the Rocky Mountains. Here's the problem I have. Now, if Joseph Smith really made a prophecy like that, you would think Brigham Young would know about it. Why wouldn't he just head right for the Salt Lake Valley and not ever mention any of these other possibilities where they could eventually land? I mean, doesn't that seem like a big question mark right there?
Well, I think he always tried to do what the prophet would have wanted. And I think if he had really felt that that was the place he was supposed to go, he would have beelined it for here, and there wouldn't have been any issue. There's a gentleman by the name of M.R. Werner who wrote the book Brigham Young, and he writes this on page 206. Finally, in 1846, they, the Mormons, began their trek to the west. Just where in the west they were going, the Mormons did not know, but Oregon and California were in the mind of Brigham Young.
And we get the impression that Brigham Young himself didn't really even know where he was going. We find that he gave a sermon in 1857 where he said, when I was written to in Nauvoo by the President of the United States through another person inquiring, where are you going, Mr. Young? I replied that I did not know where we should land. We had men in England trying to negotiate for Vancouver's Island, and we sent a shipload of saints around Cape Horn to California. Now, you can find this in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 5. Page 230 and 231. Doesn't that seem like a strange response? If Joseph Smith had already predicted that you're going to be a mighty nation in the Rocky Mountains, why are you saying, well, we're negotiating with England for a Canadian island, Vancouver Island?
And not only that, but if you're going to keep the morale of the people up and you want them to really beeline it for this place that has been predicted by the prophet, I think that would have given them encouragement when people were dying on the trails, all kinds of things going on. But here is a hymn that was written by John Taylor, who became the prophet later, and the Mormons sang it often on their journey across the plains and Rocky Mountains. And here's what it said: the Upper California, oh, that's the land for me. It lies between the mountains and the great Pacific Sea. The saints can be supported there and taste the sweets of liberty. In the Upper California, that's the land for me. I don't know about you, but even though there was no state of Utah, and you could say, well, Utah was part of California, I don't think you would say this is Upper California. I think they were more aiming at where a lot of the Mormon battalion had gone up to the San Francisco area. In fact, were part of the Gold Rush days of 49. I have a feeling that that's where they thought they were going to head, more toward that region rather than stopping so short.
Now, of course, they stopped in the Salt Lake Valley. And there's even question about that. Now, Brigham Young is supposed to have said that this is the place, and as we discussed yesterday, there's even some question about that. It doesn't even sound like any Mormon knew that Brigham Young said such a thing until many years later, when, of course, they've already been established. It could quite possibly have been that because Brigham Young was suffering from Rocky Mountain fever, that maybe this was just going to be a temporary layover until he was feeling better and then perhaps move on. It could be that once they got there and Brigham Young was starting to feel better, he started realizing, well, maybe this isn't just a bad place anyway.
Oh, we mentioned that yesterday. When they got here, they weren't even sure they were going to stay here. They ended up looking for 3, 4, 5 more days before finally deciding to stick here. But I mean, we don't know for a fact. When he said this is a place, if that's what he really said, probably wasn't what he said. Is this really what they intended? I think it was just a good fortune for them to find a place that was seemed to be safe.
It could be, too, that Brigham Young, not feeling very well, thought, okay, I've had enough. This is where we're staying. You know, there could be a lot of factors involved with that. We'll never know. We'll never know. But to try and insist that there's proof that Joseph Smith predicted that the saints would remain in the Rocky Mountains is just unfounded. There's no evidence for that.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.